Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management. Securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MRSB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein. I know it'll make you happy to know that Osama bin Laden's son was killed recently. They just announced it.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
So anything else is uphill.
Anyway.
So to speak.
It is Saturday, September 14th, 2019, and we always say that because at 10:04 in the morning, the show starts today, right on time.
Some of us are.
Some of us are. We're not going to comment on that. And when we say that, because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520 AM out of Buffalo, New York, at midnight.
I always practice the introduction, you know.
Do you?
Yeah, about 10 o'clock I start doing a clearing my throat.
Really?
And doing that.
I'm impressed.
Easily.
Unless there's a sporting event. I'm lucky I can keep my train of thought here, okay? Unless there's a sporting event, then the replay will be on after the sporting event. Also, the show is available every week from 10 to 11 live streaming if you go to our website, saperstein.com. That's S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says chat and live streaming, or it says live streaming. Click on the one that says live streaming.
It says
live streaming, Dollar Doctor live streaming.
It says
Dollar Doctor live streaming. Anyway, click on that and a chat box comes up and you can type a symbol. Oh, what am I saying? You got me completely confused.
It's my fault. You sound like my wife.
You've been interrupting me so many times.
You sound exactly like
live streaming. You click on it, and then live streaming comes up, and you can listen to the show.
You
also
go to
at
Dollar
the website,
Doctor live
go
streaming.
To saperstein.com, go to the Dollar Doctor tab. And if you want to use our chat box, it says chat and archives. Click on chat, and there's a chat box there. And you can type in a question or type in a symbol. If you type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do with the stock. And then finally, last but not least, at our website, there's a free economic report every week by Stone and McCarthy. Concise, understandable. Doesn't necessarily have to be right if they give their opinions because they're economists, but it does give you a little look at what happened last week in the economic news.
Yeah, they talked a lot about the Fed this week. And it's interesting. I don't think people know, Peter, what the responsibilities of the Fed are. Do you know?
What the responsibilities are?
What's their mandate? Yeah.
Depends. It used to be something different. Now it's changed, I think.
Well, I'll tell you, because I know you're just dying to know. The responsibilities of the Federal Reserve include influencing the supply of money and credit, regulating and supervising financial institutions, serving as a banking and fiscal agent for the United States government, and supplying payment services to the public through depository institutions like banks, credit unions, etc. It has a mandate to promote maximum employment. This is a big thing. Stable prices and moderate long-term interest rates. The Fed has three main functions. They are to provide and maintain an effective payment system, supervise and regulate banking operations, and conduct monetary policy. So
what does that tell you?
I don't know. Maybe it's about time they modernize this.
To say what? What would you want them to say?
Well, I'm not that smart. I'm just identifying an issue that to moderate long-term interest rates, mm-hmm. It's not about long-term interest rates. It's about short-term interest rates.
Okay.
Thank you.
Anyway, right now, phone lines are wide open with that tremendous amount of information you just got.
You're welcome.
Everybody's just stunned, you know. But anyway, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Once again, 803-1520, 800-879-7541. Phone lines are wide open always at this time in the morning. Very easy to get in, so give us a call or go to our website, saperstein.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says Chat and Archives. And by the way, all of our shows are archived. So if you want to listen to the archive shows, just click on the Archive tab. Meanwhile, if you're going to use the chat box, you know, click on Chat, go to the chat box, and type in a question or a symbol. And if you put in the symbol, let us know what you're looking to do.
Right. So our friend John from Connecticut, 12 hours ago, asked.
12 hours ago?
Oh, he's early. He's early, Peter.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Good morning, David. I'm thinking of adding Oxy, OXY. Please comment on the chart. Dividend will be paid October 10th. It's actually the 15th, John. And he wants to know, and it's a common question, should I wait until after dividend payout to purchase? And he's got another question on another stock. So it is the payable date is the 15th, but the date when the stock price is adjusted is the ex-dividend date. That means when it trades without the dividend or it's
right.
reduced.
Oh, you're good today. Holy cow.
I think that's what he was asking about.
Yeah, so, and if you buy it before that date, mm-hmm. you will get the dividend.
Correct.
Exactly.
So I think he's asking about buying it on the date that the payment is made, and I don't think that's going to matter because it's already been reduced by the dividend date. And by the dividend on the X date, he wouldn't
well,
get the dividend.
Well, if you buy it on the X date, you don't get the dividend.
Right, but you're not listening to me.
I don't know what you're saying.
Well, he's saying that the
he wants to know if you should buy it before the dividend date.
Right, but he's saying that the dividend date is October 10th.
Yeah, is it?
No, that's the payable date is the 15th,
okay.
not the 10th. But the X date was the 9th last week, so it's
so
already
they paid
gone.
The dividend.
That's
yeah.
what I was
all
just right, trying right. to.
Yeah, it came
it's called
out
a dramatic
the
moment in
all
the.
All right,
in the,
no, I'll
in
tell
the,
you, I can't handle your information today.
I know,
but anyway,
just, well, what can I tell you? I'm way ahead of you as usual.
But yeah, I
and
mean,
it closed
you know, that's
at,
the key. You know, don't look at the payable date because the payable means that's the date that it will be sent
right.
to your account.
4509
dividend date. Will be the date where they take the dividend off and you don't get it.
But he still wants to know what the chart looks like. 4509 on the close.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing?
7% dividend.
Well, some people are thinking the energy stocks might be a place to go because they're so out of favor. Then again, if you read the article this weekend in Barron's, they say all that oil prices can do is go lower and lower. So
I just have never in 40 plus years been ever been able to make money in the energy stocks. I tend to stay away from just personal. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, the stock made a bottom somewhere in the, what, 110 area or so? Is that right?
No.
No.
What closed at 45.
About? Yeah, that's right. 40 something, yeah. And rallied up, hit the 50-day moving average.
41.83.
Which is what?
That's the 52-week low, 41.83.
Oh, okay.
So, OXY.
Yeah, so 41.83 is the low, and I'm saying the 50-day moving average is at 46.91.
Oh, I see, okay.
And where'd you say it closed?
$45.09.
Right, so you want to see it get above the 50-day moving average, unless you're planning some long-term strategy and you want to buy some now, and if it goes back and retests the bottom at what?
41.83.
At 41.83, you're going to buy some more. And it depends, you know, is that your strategy? You just want to own a 7% dividend stock. But, you know, if it can't get above the 50-day, which once again is at 46.61, and then the next resistance would be up around 52, 53, and then it's way below the 200-day, which would be up at 60, so that would be the next target on it. So if you were going to buy it, you'd have to stop it out under that 41.13.
That was brilliant.
And it depends on, you know, if you're a dividend investor, depends on what you're trying to accomplish,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, decide on your strategy based on that.
Okay. And he also has been holding Plug for a long time, PLUG, closed at $2.65. He said it looks like it may be waking up, and he'd love to hear your comments.
Well, it's been a favorite of the day traders, you know, Plug. It gets exciting, then everybody piles into it, then it collapses, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it has these big runs up and down. And right now it's testing a resistance area around 270, where to close at.
265.
Yeah. So 270, and then above that there's a resistance area, you know, probably closer to $3 a share.
Mm-hmm.
So would I chase it after being up 1, 2, 3, 4? He said he owns it, right?
Yes.
5, 6. So I would watch it very carefully. I don't know what price you paid for it. It's potentially a chance to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because, you know, like I say, I've seen, these are what, fuel cell companies, I think?
Yeah, it's diversified electronics.
Yeah, I think technology. It's fuel cell. Yeah. And, you know, and
it was a dollar back at the
end. Oh, yeah. I mean, these are, like I say, the day traders love, not the day traders, but the traders that play,
get some action.
Quote, penny stocks. You know, they'll notice fuel cells running. You know, it's FCEL. And they'll go, okay, let's check Plug. You know, maybe Plug had news. They check fuel cell. And so, you know, the $3 area, you know, right now it's at one resistance point, and the $3 area would be very important because it kind of collapsed on very high volume from there. So a lot of people who jumped in at $3 watched it go down to $1 and may be very happy to get out at $3. So, you know, watch it very carefully here.
Mm-hmm. And what's a fuel cell? Is that, what is that? Is that for cars?
Energy. Yeah, for for buses now. Some buses are running on fuel cells.
Wow, not many though.
There's some. I think factory where you go around, you know, with those, you know, to put the stuff on the shelves. What do you call those things?
High lifts and stuff.
That,
oh, okay.
Yeah, some of them are buying fuel cell.
Yeah, instead
of electric or whatever. You know. Yeah.
Yeah, whatever that
is. So that's all happening. Right now, phone lines are still wide open.
I don't know if they're working.
803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. That's 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. So give us a call or go to the chat box at saperston.com, saperston.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab, the one that says chat and archives. Click on chat, and there's a chat box, and you can type in a question or a symbol.
Do you know what happened last night?
What happened last night?
Mm-hmm.
No.
It was Friday the 13th.
Right.
And there was a full moon.
Right.
And then it won't happen for another 30 years.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So does that mean we just hit a top in the stock market?
Hmm. Yeah. Does that mean a recession?
I don't know. It's. I think the best thing I saw, and I'm trying to think, there was Sam Zell was being interviewed, you know.
I love him.
I love that guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
He just says it like it is.
Dropped the S word on CNBC.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
So, basically, it's, you know, what he's really been saying is everybody's been predicting, worrying, you know, doing everything, talking about the market, yet the game just goes on, you know, and that's the way you have to do it. You know,
well,
don't pay attention to all the predictors.
It's consumer driven.
So
the consumer is driving this market. I made mention of that last week. Producer prices are going up a bit, and consumer prices. So we're getting a little bit of inflation, and that's good overall. That's a positive. I was reading, I believe it was actually, it was the Stone and McCarthy economic report, Peter. They expect a Fed cut next week and then three more before the end of the year.
Well, that's interesting because
they said that. Yeah, I hadn't
seen
that. Yeah,
but in Barron's, they said that after, and you notice how the bond got clobbered.
Oh yeah!
Last week, I think it was the worst week in a couple since 2016.
Right, percentage-wise, but actual percentages moved wasn't that big, but percentage-wise
it was the biggest. You know, you don't forget the 10-year yield was under 1.5.
Yeah, closed at
1.9. That's
I saw that this morning. Where did I miss it? That's huge.
And most of that happened on Friday.
Yeah.
At least half of it happened on Friday.
And the reason is, he said?
Well, I don't know. They said there was good economic news, a spate of good economic news.
They don't know what they're talking about.
One thing. And inflation was higher than expected.
People are moving out of bonds into the market.
Yeah, that's right.
I think you're going to see, although the market didn't move all that much.
No. And when risk is on, they sell the bonds, right? And they buy stocks is what you're saying. And you saw, people become a little bit more confident about the market after all those trade moves. You know, China did something.
Do you think it was a Democratic convention, debate?
Far from that. Oh, yeah, it was, because they figured with all those clowns up there, that maybe this country won't have to worry about
Everything's
going to
be
coming
free
in the office. You know, so but
it's
anyway.
It's going to be free.
Whatever. Not to be political, but anyway, I was.
You were. How about the 50-year bond? Maybe that's what people are doing, selling, going to cash, and waiting for the 50-year bond next year.
Yeah, don't really know, but I do know it was a good week in the market, with the Dow Jones up 1.6%, the S&P up 1%, NASDAQ 0.9. But the big winner, what was the big winner last week?
Caterpillar.
Oh, right. Russell 2000, up over 4% last week.
That was my second guess.
Was that? Yeah, I bet you it was.
Caterpillar was up 10%.
Yeah. And, you notice with that big jump in the 10-year yield on Friday, a lot of the interest-sensitive stocks got hit. Mm-hmm. You know, home builders and a lot of utilities got hit, that type of thing, you know, with that big one-day jump. So,
yeah. Janet Yellen spoke last week, too. Expects the Fed to do more to keep the U.S. economy on track.
Well, it's kind of interesting because you see where the ECB cut rates again.
Plus, they have quantitative easing.
And they had quantitative easing.
How many billion?
But it's interesting that what Draghi said was, we've done about all we can. It's now up to fiscal policy to stimulate, you know. In other words, spending, that type of thing, you know, at least in Europe anyway, you know. So,
yeah, well, who cares?
But the interesting thing is, of all the companies in the EU, I think they said that everyone except France and Greece are running surpluses, or, you know.
They don't spend. They do nothing. They expect somebody else to help themselves.
Do we have a caller?
Yes.
Art. Sometimes Art's on hold.
Yeah,
I can't see that far.
It just says unknown.
Art, are you on?
What? Yes, I'm unknown. The unknown comic.
There you go. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. This new website I'm going with ESPN is working beautifully.
Good.
So I'm getting the show great on there. Next week, I'm going to Cape Cod for 2 weeks. I'm hoping to be able to get the show wirelessly in the house.
Of course.
We were able to get wireless contact last year.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe also get it on midnight at 15:20. I'm going to try that. I got a wonderful note from the Dreamer.
Oh, you did, huh?
Oh, wonderful. I saw lots of his work on the website that the art gallery was on. It's really a lot of great stuff. Question today is on my idea for my Pacific Gas and Electric. Now, I know it's hanging around $10 or $11 a share. There's been some information coming on that maybe they're going to limit some of their expenses from the fires. Now, my cost basis for this is $32 a share. And I'm thinking if I sell at 10 this year, I can take about a $22 loss, and 31 days later, where I don't expect it to have much movement, I can buy the same number of shares back. And I'm planning on capital gains this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking I can use almost all of that against the capital gains for this year.
Yeah, nothing wrong.
Does that sound like a good approach?
Well, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of things going on. They've been making settlements little by little.
Sure.
And people have been getting a little optimistic. But, you know, the other side of the coin is they're in Chapter 11 bankruptcy.
Right.
And you don't really know how that's going to affect the shareholders in the end, you know. So be aware of that.
Right, but they're not going out of business.
They're not going out of business.
11/18,
they're not going
right
out of business. But they said in order to raise capital, they may have to issue more shares and so forth and so on. And
it'll dilute the present shares then.
Yeah. So anyway, that's a good way to do it.
Well, I just think, you know, there's different strategies for different people. And Art, I think we know his strategy is he ain't going to sell the stock. So he could take advantage of the tax loss for this year. And we don't give tax or legal advice, but he could take advantage of it, wait the 31 days and buy the stock back.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully it drops a little bit maybe or, you know, doesn't go up a lot. And he's got the same position, but he used that thing. Yeah, it's great. And that's what he did with Snap, right, Art?
Yes, it is. Yeah. And now Snap is up at 15. I paid less than 6 for the second batch.
Yep.
I got the tax loss. I think there's a better. This is a better approach than if I go and buy it first and wait 31 days, because then I'd be holding double the amount, and if it going down to 5 or so, I'd be lost.
Well, I'm glad you're thinking about the risk, because that's the first thing you should think about, right?
Yeah.
Well, I looked up a 5-year. Price on this, it was way over 50. I think it was $50 or $60 a share.
Yeah.
So I got a big loss on it, but I took that risk when I owned this thing. You know.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
My big concern was maybe one of their nuclear reactors would fall into the ocean, because they have it right on the on a fault up there. You know, one of their reactors, the nuclear ones.
Yeah,
well, all right, I'll be looking forward to hearing the rest of the show and catching you guys when I'm up at Falmouth, Cape Cod.
All right,
sounds
safe
good
travels.
Take
have
care.
Have a lobster for us, okay?
Yeah, okay.
Or thank ship you. One Bye. To us, as long as it's under $25.
You want it to be alive, you watch when you open the box.
That's it, exactly.
Peter likes pets. Animals are great.
That's a good one. Have a good day now.
Thank you,
all right, take care. Thank you very much for calling. Okay, right now, phone line still wide open. Give us a call, 803-1520, toll free, 800-879-7541. Don't wait until the end of the show. You know, when the phone lines are wide open, very easy to get in. Or go to the chat box, saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com, Dollar Doctor Tab. This is Chats and Archives. Click on chat in this chat box there. You can type in a question or a symbol. And if you do type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do. We're going to go next to Vic in Amherst. Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Vic.
Take a look at, if you would, please, Agilin A. What would your boxes, how would you play Willard's boxes here? How would you guys, from Saperstein Financial, play this thing?
Well, the problem is it just blew right out of a base, okay?
Okay.
So it was a buy at 73.
Close at 77.90.
Yeah. So the bottom line is it's a ready run. Okay, what did it close at?
77.90.
Yeah. Did you say that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was an echo, but anyway, okay. Yeah, so I mean the boxes don't tell you anything other than let me switch to a half point box and we'll see what happens here.
Bless you. I love this chart because it had a gap down and it comes back and fills the gap. That's about all I know about technical analysis.
Well, that's good.
But I like that.
Yeah.
It looks great.
Boy, that's maybe that's all you need to know.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
Well, any proponent of the three-year MACD low three-year with a crossover would have been in our already.
Yeah, three-year. See, yeah, that, well, at what point would they have been in on that?
About 8 points lower.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah. No, I mean, that was a great move, and, you know, now the, you know, probably has a, you know, nice target on it right now. Let me just check it out. But
what do you think of? Take a look at the chart, the W form. You could call that. Would you call that a double bottom?
Yeah, pretty much so. Some people can be very technical and say unless it's exact. Well, no, it doesn't have to be exact. Has to be a test of basically the same area. You know.
And then strict technical analysis would tell you. You don't buy it until you hit the middle of the W, the peak.
Well, yeah, I don't like that, but yeah.
No, I'm saying strict technical analysis says you wait till the breakout from the peak.
No, I agree. I agree that says that, yeah.
Is it beyond the peak yet?
Yeah.
By how many points? Not much.
By 2 points.
Yeah, right. So your boxes wouldn't really have an opinion that it would be in it.
Yeah, I mean, I even cut it down to, you know, a half a point box and tells you nothing different, you know. Price objectives now on the point and figure basis, 85.
Right. Yeah, it's a great chart and it's a great company.
Oh, no question, yeah.
You know, it's just, you wouldn't have been in on that one, like I say, other than that 3 year thing that I pulled up a couple months ago. The other chart is HMSY. We talked about this a couple, 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
Look how this thing's riding on the 50.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, nice chart. Broke out again. It's kind of volatile lately. You know.
You mentioned that the other day, volatile. What is your definition in this one? I looked at the chart when I went home, and I said, well, what was your definition of volatile is from the high to the low isn't that much.
Well, you know, in other words, if I look at a point and figure chart that goes up some, comes back a little, goes up some more, comes back a little, that's a well-controlled stock, right?
Right.
If you look at this one, it ran from 30 to 38, came all the way back to 27, went all the way back to 35, all the way back to 27, up to 40, you know. On the point, in other words, if you look at the point and figure chart, that's very what you'd call loose, you know.
Right, but if you look at a chart that's got dates and months of different charts, it's going to look different. Close at 3688. But I agree with you, Vic.
But on the point and figure chart, it's jumping
right.
All over
the
place.
I'm looking at it from here, and you can see.
Yeah, in a recent history of price, it's not volatile at all. It comes back, you know, 7-8%, and then it's got this great base laying right on 50.
Oh yeah. No, I agree there on the daily chart. You know what? Basically, what happens with the point and figure chart? It doesn't take time into account. You know,
right? When you guys do a long, Pete, when you do a long term weekly, what are your moving averages? 10, 40, 200?
Well, that's basically to me they're basically the same or close to the daily, which is what you're doing there. 10, 40, you know, and 200.
A daily, most people do 20, 50, 200, right?
Yeah, but some people do the 10 and the 20 and the 50, you know, it's...
Yeah, well, in IBD, they have the their trader column. They're big on 5, 10, 50.
Everybody's got different ones.
Yeah.
You know, and like we say, I've always said, and you pointed out again, see which averages it tends to honor, you know, which work.
Right,
you know?
Right. Hey, guys, great show. Thank you for your information.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. Okay, right now, phone lines are wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Or you can go to the chat box at saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. This is Chat and Archives. Hit chat. Chat box comes up. You type in a question. Type in a symbol. If you type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do. And while we're waiting for phone calls or something on the chat box, we're going to take a quick one-minute break. We'll be right back.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors every Saturday morning live from 10 to 11. Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, securities offered through Brighton Securities out of Rochester, New York. Member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
David Brownstein.
We finally got that in.
We never do this at this break.
I know, but we didn't do it at the beginning.
Yeah, we did.
Did we?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember it.
It's all right. It was uneventful.
Okay, anyway, phone lines are still wide open, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541, or one last chance, go to the chat box, saperston.com. People seem to use, we were just talking about the chat box when it was on a different website more often, but, you know, go to saperston.com and click on the Dollar Doctor tab, says chat and archives, and you can click on chat. Type in a question, type in a symbol. If you type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do.
Yeah, it's not that hard. If I can do it, it's not that hard.
Yeah, I would agree. 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. We're going to go to Frank in Rochester. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, Peter, how do you remember all those letter abbreviations you mentioned?
Oh. How do I remember them? Because it's written down in front of me.
You're a good
scriptwriter. I told Willard that he should get some more abbreviations, you know, and
right.
we could run the show with all the abbreviations.
He clears his mind of all useful information and puts in this useless information. But that's
Show. Sounds very impressive on the airwaves. So, anyways, what do you guys think? What's going on with FNMA, Fannie Mae?
Oh, what's going on is the government's talking about taking them out of the conservatorship they're in. But it sounded like they're going to privatize them, right?
That's what it sounded like to me.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, that, you know, what does that mean? Privatizing means what for your stock?
I would think that's, well, I think it's kaput, gone.
But people are buying the stock. So I don't know what's, you know, I really, you know, when the government's involved, I wish I could tell you, you know.
Well, so really looking at a chart is not going to make give you any information to make an intelligent decision what to do with stock at this point.
Well, no, you could say, based on the chart, you could say something, right? And then in the background, you have to recognize that could all be overturned by government monkey shines, okay. I'll call it, you know, whatever.
Well, over exuberance.
Okay. Yep.
Okay. All right, so I don't because I've owned the stock for about 11 years. I bought it when I thought the financial crisis was over in 2008,
mm-hmm.
and I bought it for 87 cents. And just for speculation,
yeah.
And anytime it's gotten near 299, it's always the next day or 2 days later, it's back down to like 220, 225.
Mm-hmm. Close to 384.
You know? So, yeah, yeah. So I just wondered, you know, like...
A nice profit, I mean, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, the point is, you know, for your individual psychology or whatever, do you want to take the risk that the government will do something and say, oh, we're going to privatize it, that's the end of the stock, you know? Or, you know, do you want to be bothered with it, you know? I mean, you got a nice profit. I mean, I don't know how many shares you have, but maybe you take half of them off the table.
Just a couple hundred. But what do you mean that's the end of the stock? I mean, they're going to cash you out or what? You know,
I don't know how they would do it. You know, in other words, would they buy it? Or, you know, in other words, you know, usually when you go private, a company when it goes private usually buys its stock. I don't know what happens when the government's involved.
When you got the privatized.
Yeah, yeah.
That's something entirely different for a government.
Yeah. 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 So I don't know. I mean, you'd have to do much more research on what all that means. But having gone, you know, why don't you take half the money off the table? So you made a nice profit, and even if it went to zero, you're still ahead of the game, right?
Right. That's true. Okay.
Yeah. He said he's got a couple hundred shares. I mean,
yeah. So, or else you want to play it as a lottery, you know, and say, oh, something good may come out of this, you know.
Right. So, okay.
President Lyndon Johnson wanted to make the federal debt load look smaller, so he turned Fannie Mae into a private company. Then in 1970, Congress created a Fannie Mae competitor, the Federal Home Loan Mortgage Corporation, which basically did the same thing. I'm just doing a little bit, but here it is. What happens if Fannie and Freddie do get privatized again? Mnuchin, that's Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, caused quite a stir recently when he said in an interview that privatizing the government-sponsored entities, Fannie and Freddie, would be on the top 10 list of things that the administration would seek to get done. By the end of trading that day, the shares shot up over 40% each in reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It has been well documented. You can read it. Go ahead.
Anyway, but it's on there.
Right.
That doesn't tell you yet what privatizing means.
I would definitely sell. Yeah. I would sell 100 shares.
Right.
Because you guaranteed it's nothing's guaranteed.
And if it doubles or triples after that, say,
great.
I bought some insurance. Great.
Or see it go down. Yeah. It goes down 50 cents. You put that 100 shares back in. Yeah. You can really trade it because you know something. This shows nothing.
No.
And you know it's going to be months and years away, so there's going to be action. Yeah. That's all.
So there you go.
Right. Okay. No, that's a good strategy.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And then the other one I was going to ask you about is VECO. V as in Victor, ECO. VECO Instruments.
Mm-hmm. Take a look at that, VECO.
Sounds like they're in the medical field.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's been in a long-term downtrend since at least 2017, you know, when it was up in the, 34 area, somewhere in that area.
They're semiconductors, actually.
Yeah, and now
they make equipment, semiconductor manufacturing equipment.
And it got all the way down to 6.5. Rallied up to the 15 area, came all the way back to, 7?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know really what to tell you there. I mean, other than the fact that, you know, it didn't go all the way back to retest the lows, you know, at 6.5, and this time it was, there was a little bit of buying there. And so an aggressive, do you own it or are you looking to buy it?
No, I own it because, I had Ultratech for years.
Oh.
And then they merged with Vecco when you got cash, and then ended up with 118 shares of Vecco. And I don't know anything about Vecco.
Yeah.
But Ultratech was one of Bob Brinker's, one of the three stocks he used to recommend. He never used to recommend stocks.
Right.
So you know, I didn't.
We know why.
And now you know why, right?
Yeah.
So basically, you're telling me you rode this all the way down, right?
Right, exactly. Like I do all my other stocks.
Yeah. So.
At least he's honest, Pete.
Yep.
Yeah.
Shouldn't laugh. I mean, I've been through it many times myself, believe me.
We're laughing at ourselves.
Yeah, that's for sure. And let me look
at it. I could give you a whole list of stocks I used to have and I sold, and I don't follow them. Then, I used to have the stock back in the late 80s, Khaki, CACI, and I bought it, around 20, 25. And then, it was just doing, it already split 3-for-1. It wasn't doing much. And then I had 500 shares, and then I just sold it and, broke even. Mm-hmm. I looked at it a couple of weeks ago, and it was $215. Oh. It happens to me all the time.
So what are you going to do about it?
Shoot myself.
Do the opposite. George Costanza.
Right, do the opposite.
Whatever you think you should do, do the opposite.
Do the opposite.
Do the opposite, right.
That's a very good, matter of fact, that might be the best investment advice. But anyway, and the other thing, people have always said, if you had a reason to get into the stock, if the reason's not there anymore, get out, that's it.
Right.
But looking at it on the chart, it's been going straight up for several days now for some reason.
That's what I'm wondering about, because sometimes you'll say, stock has to hit a certain level, and then once it breaks that level and holds that level, it's ready to make the next incremental move.
Well, the probabilities are that it is. Nothing's guaranteed, right?
But the to wipe out the past resistance level.
Yeah. Well, what happened? The good news about the stock is it broke above its 200-day. It broke above its 50-day, which a lot of technical people like to see. And, I think the 50-day is at about, it looks like 11, and the 200-day is about 1080. So if you stay, above that general area, that would be very encouraging. It is in potential resistance between 11.5 and 12.5. So it would have to break about above 12.5 for a possibility at 15,
Okay.
And they came out with earnings in August, and their earnings are accelerating, and that's what's making the stock.
What's making
move.
It jump
that's
like
what
that?
It looks like.
What
yes,
was it?
Sir.
The end of August or something? Or?
No, it's in the beginning of August. That's what I was
really?
Looking for. 2P. Yeah, it was
that's
August.
That's weird because it plunged from the beginning of August into the beginning of September.
August 5th.
Yeah, weird. Anyway, but that's that's your parameters for looking at it. And like I say, at the moment, being above the 50 and 200 is encouraging. So as long as it stays above, say, 1050 or so.
Okay.
It's potentially okay,
All right, above 1050 or ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, so I always say, do your own research too. You might want to go back and look at the earnings, see what they had to say.
Okay.
Not mainly the earnings, but what are they saying about going forward,
So, right.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, sounds good. Well, thank you very much for that information.
Thanks for calling.
You guys have a great weekend.
Okay,
thanks.
Thank you very much for calling. Have a good weekend. Okay, right now, phone lines wide open again, 803-1520, toll-free 800-879-7541. Or, if you don't want to call for some reason, although we like to talk to you, you can go to the chat box at saperston.com, SAPERSTON.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab. This is Chat and Archives. Click on Chat. There's a chat box. Type in a question. Type in a symbol. If you type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do. Right now, we're going to go to Rich in Niagara Falls. Good morning.
Good morning, Peter. Good morning, David.
Good morning, sir.
Oh, not to get political, Peter, but I think the Giants will finish the season.
Or be finished.
The
bad part is, for a long time, I've been an anti-Bills fan for the way the team's been run, the management, so forth and so on. You know,
oh, just, yeah, absolutely.
So I've never been a Bills fan because I'm from New York City, so I was always a New York Giant fan. But I don't have anything good to say about the Giants, and I've told people I think the Bills are going to beat them.
Yeah.
Oh, is he sticking his neck out? I'll tell you.
Yeah,
I have my Bills hat on. He has his Bills color shirt on.
Well, not to go into all of it, but they've got all rookie.
It's the second game, and I guess he'll tell the story basically of both teams, what they look like.
Yeah, but you have two so-so teams playing, so I don't know what that tells you.
The Bills probably are an 8-8 team, and the Giants probably a 5-11 team.
I think we're better than 8-8, but what do I know?
What do you know? So anyway.
Not to get mixed up with the food, Cisco, but what do we think of Cisco? Charlie Sam, Charlie Otto.
Cisco. From the control booth, somebody shouted out 16-0. I won't name him because he might be embarrassed if they don't go 16-0.
Well, he's also highly intoxicated. So.
Well, he's drinking a lot of Kool-Aid.
Oh, he said it's not alcohol.
Oh, 10-6? Oh. Yeah. He after that, he said 10-6. Be more realistic. So that would be almost the opposite of your Giant prediction. But anyway, let's look at Cisco. Made a nice double bottom. I mean, you're looking to buy it. You own it.
I have a few shares, and I'm down.
So, yeah, I'm sure, because it plunged.
Yes, sir.
But,
yeah.
But you know, it looks like it made a nice double bottom, you know, somewhere in the
47, 46,
mm-hmm. between 46 and 47. But what you want to see it do is get above the 200 now. It's also testing the gap down. It's, as David would say, filling the gap. And a lot of times when you fill the gap, it heads back down again. Mm-hmm. So, and the 200's there right at, say, 51.
Close at $50.03.
Yeah. So, you know, if it can get above 51, your next level would be somewhere around 53, maybe. Okay. And if it got to that, then you have a chance of going back, you know, to the old highs. So
a couple others. Dollar General.
Dollar General. DG.
DG.
Boy, that's a nice one. You own that one, I hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
157.78.
They must have had good earnings, or was there earnings here at the end of August? Do you notice?
Let's see.
You can check that out. But whatever it was, there was a gigantic gap up, and it could have been on the Chinese trade situation. You know, because a lot of these cheapy stores like Dollar General, Dollar Tree, so forth and so on, they sell a lot of Chinese-made goods, right? So, so that's a possibility.
Two others.
Their earnings came out at the end of August.
It was the earnings. Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean, that looks very good. And let me look at a point and figure chart real quick. I was looking at the regular chart on it. And let me see. Call up the point and figure chart. Yeah, that one looks good. Dollar General.
I go in that Dollar General quite a bit, and it always seems like there's a lot of people there.
That's true. You know, it's I only stopped in there one or two times, but yeah, when I'm in there, there's a lot of people there. I mean, basically, the price objective has been met on it, you know, in terms of the point and figure chart. But, you know, it looks, you know, good. I mean, it really does look good right now. So I would tend to hang on to it. And okay. I would look at one other thing real quick.
Yeah, it seems like the trade conflict hasn't really affected it. Interesting.
Two others, Pete, are Duke Realty and Duke, D-R-E and D-U-K.
D-U-K, let me just call that up real quick. D-U-K. Utilities, I think, took a little bit of a hit at the end of the week. You know, I wouldn't expect, although who knows, you know, everybody's been expecting even lower interest rates, so you don't know. And you don't predict, as Sam Zell says. That's a beautiful chart. Price objective 101. And I would like to see support in the 90-91 area hold.
closed at 93.90. It was down a dollar on Friday, yeah. Which you would expect.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, support somewhere in the 90, 91 area. Watch it there, you know, and you want to see that support hold. And what's the other one?
Duke, D-U-K.
No, that's the one he gave you.
I gave you Duke.
You did that first.
I mean, D-I-R-E.
Yeah, I messed you up. Usually I mess myself up, but as David will point out. Yeah, it's another great-looking stock.
No comment, yeah. 32.36 on the close.
Yeah. So it's met all of its price objectives, and you would want support in the, say 29 to 30 area to hold. As long as it holds above that, looks good. And then you might reevaluate it if it dropped below that support area. And then looking at one other thing, let me come up with a. You could actually do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 15. I could come up with a target around 40.
Oh, okay.
That's using what they call a horizontal count, not to go into, but a horizontal count.
Hey, remember when the stocks were fractions?
Yeah, oh yeah. Remember?
Oh, but I had a tough time figuring out how much money I would lose. Now it's easier.
Now it's a lot easier.
Yeah, yeah.
And you feel better, Lou. No.
We have time for one more?
Sure.
Disney, D-I-S.
Yeah. Disney. Let's see. It's going to be interesting with this live streaming battle going on.
Yeah, he quit the board of Apple.
Who's that?
Bob Iger, the president of Disney.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
Oh, probably because Apple came out with Apple TV.
Got it.
For $4.99 a month, right?
Yeah.
But they don't have any product.
but they got big names.
Yeah. No. Well, no about big names, but they have no.
Oprah, she's big.
Yeah, I guess. Depends, you know. Depends on whether she's following her Weight Watchers.
They don't do depends.
You know. Yeah, it is. you know, you ever see Oprah? She's like a yo-yo with weight, you know. Boom, zing, boom. But now that she has a nice position in Weight Watchers, which got clobbered, you know. But, you know, maybe she's watching her diet a lot better. But anyway.
No comment.
You got to watch what you say because Willard didn't like something you said last week, you know. So
that's the way it goes.
Everybody can have their opinions. Anyway, back to Disney. Looks good. Believe it or not, and you take this with a grain of salt, the price objective is 212.
Ooh,
and,
wow.
I would get, you know, I would reevaluate, say, at 130, you know. Because.
Good. I thank you guys.
Well, you're quite welcome. Thank you for calling. Yeah. Have fun watching the game.
Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah.
Okay. Go Bills.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You too. Take it easy. Okay, right now, phone lines wide open, 803-1520, toll-free, 800-879-7541. Very easy to get in, and we have about, 7-8 minutes left, so we can probably take another call or two. You can also go to the chat box at saperston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Click on the Dollar Doctor tab that says Chat and Archives. Click on Chat, and it's a chat box. You can type in a question, type in a symbol. If you type in a symbol, let us know what you're looking to do.
Yeah, we haven't had any questions other than John from Connecticut.
From 12 hours ago.
Yeah.
So the chat box is a little dated. So anyway, you know, like I say, Sam Zell's advice is very good, and I've been telling people that. Stop paying attention to the news off and on, off and on. You got to realize the media wants to create fear or greed, you know, that's what they're playing to, you know, and I always told the story a long time ago, and I heard somebody recently say the same type of thing, you know, he was asked to appear on a show, but they wanted him to say something that he didn't agree with, so he said, I'm not coming.
Who was this?
I forgot who it was, but, you know.
I think it sounds familiar.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, I told the story a long time ago, Dan Dorfman, you know, who some people, if they're old enough, might remember. I was in a different firm years ago. We met with him. We wanted a story published on our firm. And he said, well, what do you guys think about the market? And we said, well, you know, this, that, and the other thing, the market's going to keep going up. He says, I can't use it. You have to be create the opposite of what everybody's saying. Then I can publish it. It's okay. So that's the way it works. Watch how the media works. Okay, we're going to go next to Nick in Williamsville. Good morning.
It's Vic from Williamsville.
Vic? Oh, okay. What did you think? Did you think it was Nick?
I thought it was Mike.
We quit. But go ahead.
I wasn't looking through the bifocals. I'm right. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't have
mine.
So
we're all wrong.
Okay.
Okay, Vic.
What do you think about Qualcomm at this point? The chart looks pretty good.
Well, there's a lot of people that say that they are a big player in the upcoming 5G. You know?
Right.
And the chart looks good. I would say, you know, it actually gave a small buy signal at, 80? And would give a complete breakout symbol at 81.
Close at 78.41.
Right. And right now, just even based on, you know, the small buy signal, there's a price target of 91 on it. And what'd you say it closed at?
78.41.
Yeah. So you got a price target of 91, which is up at the old highs. Looks very nice.
And they pay 3% dividend.
Yeah, which is amazing for a technology company.
It's there. QCOM.
Yeah, QCOM. Very good. Yeah. And let me look at it. Yeah. Go ahead.
I'm also looking at, you know, there's a lot of indications that Boeing is going to fly their 737 MAXs shortly. At least the CEO has come out and said that. I'm looking at aerospace parts companies, HXL and HEI.
HXL, like Hexcel, I guess. Is that what it is? Yeah, I haven't. Hexcel Corporation. Yeah, I mean, the stock's been, you know, acting pretty well. I mean, it's come back down from, 86? Is that right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, closed at 81.78.
Yeah, 86 down to 81.70, you know, and looking...
87, Pete, actually.
Oh, what is it? Oh,
87 on
okay.
The button.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 200 days at 71, you know, the 50 days at 81. So it's sitting on the 50-day, which is a potential buy point, you know. And as long as it stays above the 200-day at 71, you know, it looks bullish. And what was the other one?
HEI.
That's
HEICO?
That's down to about the 200-day.
Yeah, 200 days, 107.50. No, 200 days, 107.53.
Or 50, I guess.
Yeah, right? Close at 125.64.
Yeah, so you're above the 200-day. I mean, unfortunately, there's a lot of air between 95 and where it is right now, you know. So so you certainly want, and then 107 is a 200-day. Where's the 50-day right now? 50 days at 138. So it's below that. You want to see it get back above the 50.
And I'm a long-term holder in Boeing, and actually I'm kind of looking at buying some more at this point. What do you think of that chart?
Yeah, I'll take a look at it real quick.
Close at 379.76.
Looks like people are starting to look at it. Looks very interesting. Believe it or not, take it for what it's worth, the price target on the point figure chart is 452. 200 days back above the 200-day at 362. And the 50 days at, 352. So stay above the 200-day. Looks good.
Yeah, 440 or 450 is about where
it was
when it collapsed. So.
Right.
Okay, thanks for your help.
Okay, thank you very much for calling. Have a good weekend.
And we have somebody on the chat, too.
Well, we're back to the end of the show, really. We got 1 minute left. So
Amazon.
You tell them.
I love it.
Your favorite. You love it? Okay.
That's it. He's
all
worried
right.
About the price earnings, but they don't earn money.
Well, you can't worry about price to earnings. Yeah, forget that for a stock like Amazon.
Right.
Right now, you know, we're down to the end of the show. We always say, you know, keep a little powder dry. You know, and what that means is, you know, never put 100% in the market. You know, always have something available, so you can take advantage of opportunities. You know, you get these quick 10% corrections in the market. You have a list of stocks, you know, that you're interested in.
And jump.
You have a little money, and then you're able to do something. When you're fully invested, then you're kind of frozen because what do I sell? What do
you
I do?
Sell
you know,
something.
And, you know, and you got to sell something, and you can't make up your mind. So if you have cash, you can do something. So till next week, take care. Do your own research. We'll be back next week.
Go Bills.